Special book, Past Lives Unveiled, Barry Eaton, the author. And, of course, he will be back with your calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Barry Eaton with us. Barry, your book, Past Lives Unveiled, how do folks get it here in the States?
Well, it's available on all the online areas, George, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the... I think it's available in bookstores. I haven't been to the States for a while, so I can't tell you that.
We'll have to do a little search for you.
But it comes up if you do a bit of a search there, yeah.
What is... we talk about the late Michael Newton quite a bit.
Yeah.
What was it about him that got him so interested in past lives? Was there a trigger point for him?
Well, like a lot of people who've gone into past life research, Michael started off as a skeptic, and he took one of his, he was into hypnotherapy as a psychologist. He took back one of his clients to the time when it all began, and the client went back into past lives. And this happened to another friend of mine over in Australia, exactly the same thing, psychologist. So when Michael found that this explained what was going on, he then decided to further his studies. So all in all, during the course of 35 years of studying and researching, he accessed over 7,000 case studies.
My gosh.
Unbelievable. And they're all brilliant. There's no doubt about it. They're all published. He's written fantastic books like Journey of Souls, Destiny of Souls, Life Between Lives, and so on. And he's become an iconic figure in the whole area of past life research. Unfortunately, Michael passed over in 2016, and I was given the honor of doing the radio tribute program for him, which I was absolutely amazed at being able to do that. But his research, his genuine concern and interest in the whole area, well, he's as I said, he's been the iconic figure, and a lot of people have gone on from there. You know, people like Raymond Moody and many other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. They've done a lot of past. There's a lot of books written, but Michael went into it in very special sort of ways.
If an individual wants to find out about their past lives, what do you recommend they do? How do they start?
Well, for a start, I mean, there's plenty of material around. I could say buy my book.
Buy your book. No, say it.
Well, I mean, that's why I've written the book. I mean, you don't write books to make a whole lot of money these days. So I wanted to get the word out there about the afterlife and past lives and everything like that. And that's what it's all about. And if they're interested and they want to go on from there, there are many little triggers at times. We have deja vu, for instance. We might have a period in history or events or people or characters in history we might be fascinated by. A lot of people have been fascinated by, say, life in ancient Egypt. Well, there's every chance that they led a life in ancient Egypt. But if you want to find out more, and then there's a reason for this, and if you're having blockages in your life, as I said before, can't find answers, all sorts of problems, find yourself a good therapist. And I will say that any of the people who are working through the Michael Newton Institute, they're all trained, they're all highly qualified, and they do it in a highly professional way, and you're not going to be left stranded. I've heard some horrible stories, George, about people who have been regressed, and the person who was very inexperienced didn't know what to do. And in one case, this guy actually got up and left the room and left this poor person completely stranded all over the place.
Oh, my gosh.
Imagine the mental trauma that would have caused. I mean, that's a frightening story.
That's almost like malpractice, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I don't know whether the guy was actually a registered practitioner or not. You see, that's the problem. So you need to go to somebody that's either recommended or you know their history, you've had a good association with them or some of their colleagues. And also, as I said, just get into the Newton Institute. Find out. I mean, that to me is, especially in the States, that is the best way to start.
By going into your past lives, does it help you in your current life? Does it solve any issues you might have?
Well, it does. And I mentioned before I had an incredible experience a couple of months ago. I was attending a seminar from my, once again, the guy I keep talking about in my book, Peter Smith. And he was running down in Melbourne here in Australia. He was running a quantum consciousness.
Yeah, where does he live now?
He lives in Melbourne.
He does, okay.
Yeah, Yeah, because he visits the States and does a lot. Has he been a guest on your program?
I don't think he's been a guest on the show, but I'd like to get him on.
Oh, look, you'd do a heck of a lot worse. Peter is brilliant. He really is brilliant. Anyway, Pete ran this seminar down in Melbourne, Australia, a couple of months back, and my partner Anne and I went down there and did the seminar. And we did a whole series of regressions, not just past lives. We were exploring the whole quantum area. And one of them was a past life. Now, I'd had the experience of being regressed by Peter several times. So when we went into this particular session or regression, I went slipped straight in because it was almost as if as soon as I heard him saying those familiar words about going down and inside yourself or whatever, I just slipped straight into it. And I went back to a life in Tudor times in England. And I was all of a sudden I found myself as this young man. And there are ways in past lives where you can either go back and observe, and that's the safest way if you're being taken back or you're taking somebody back, or you can actually go into that particular person's life, and that's called revivification. Now, in this instance, I went into revivification, and it was a young guy in the Tudor court, and that's all I knew at this stage. I just had this feeling of knowledge, and I was being interviewed for a position. And the person who was interviewing me was a nobleman, and his name was Sir Francis Walsingham. And I was absolutely terrified. I was shaking with fear, and the whole thing. I was so afraid that I was not going to get the job. I really needed this job. I was only a kid, and I was absolutely shaking with fear. And when we came out of this, my partner Anne was sitting next to me, and we were doing our sharing at the end of all this. She suddenly pulled me and said, "You were shaking with fear." I said, "Yeah." She said, "Because for the last couple of years, I've had this shaking left hand that was getting slowly worse and worse and worse."
Interesting.
And just prior to this seminar, I couldn't pick up a glass of water or a cup of coffee or anything with my left hand, and I'm left-handed. It would shake so badly that it'd spill everywhere.
My gosh.
I learned to be right-handed. So anyway, when this sharing came out, Peter said to me, "Look, stay back afterwards, and we'll do a little session on this." So I did, and he took me back into a full regression then, after everybody went home, after that day's work at the seminar. And I was taken back and to this life, and I found out my name was Thomas, and Sir Francis Walsingham was the person who was interviewing me for this job. I was absolutely terrified. And Peter then... I was told, you will do this, if you get this position, you will just do as you're told. You will not think for yourself, you will just do exactly as I say. You will not make mistakes. And I was absolutely terrified as a kid, you can imagine. So anyway, Peter then took me further back afterwards and found out that I had, in this particular lifetime, had my hand run over by a carriage wheel.
Oh, geez.
And the hand was obviously pretty crippled. So he then called in a few of my other souls from other lifetimes, and this is the short version of this story, George, called in a few of my souls, my soul lineage, who had a similar situation. And when he addressed them all, and all this is being recorded, by the way, I've got all this in recording, not knowing what was going on myself at the time, listening back to it, I was amazed. And it turns out that there was about six different lifetimes that all came in to share and be in this healing. And each one of those lifetimes, apart from the fact that I was young Thomas, the other lifetimes were all as soldiers or warriors. And so the fear factor, the trembling, and you can imagine, you know, in those days, you never know whether you're going to get an axe through the back of your neck or a spear or you know, separated from other parts of your body with a last nasty sword or whatever in ancient times. Now, all of these lives, I'd had trembling fits. So when we came back, Peter then worked with all of the other souls to release all this energy. And they were going to go back to their lifetimes, healed, and I was going to come back to my lifetime. Now, we came back out of this, and we found out with research that Sir Francis Walsingham, I'd never heard of Sir Francis Walsingham before, turns out that he was Queen Elizabeth I's principal secretary. He was also her spymaster, so he was a pretty imposing sort of a figure. No wonder I was trembling with fear.
Yeah.
So after that, as I went on, my hand started to stop trembling. And that night, it was noticeably better. The next day, it was even better. Now, I can hold my hand out in front of me, and look, I'm holding it out. You can't see it, unfortunately. But it is absolutely still as. So this is
no shakes.
Great. No shake at all. No shake at all. And I can now just have normal cups of coffee, and I pick up the coffee, and I don't spill it everywhere. So that is, I think, a great illustration of how past life work like this can help solve problems in this life. A fairly simple little thing like that, but there are many deeper issues that can also be solved.
To the phones now we go. First-time caller Jay, truck driving in Texas. Good morning, Jay. Go ahead.
Hey, George. What an honor. I guess I had a question, but I couldn't form it very well when I was speaking with it. Was it Ian that I spoke to that took my call?
That was Tommy.
Tommy. He's a real, real nice fella. My question is about a theory that I have. I'm curious if Barry might indulge me for a moment and see if, just to see if I'm on the same page with
sure.
You.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Well, we have an understanding that everything that is ever created in the universe as we own it, as we understand it anyway, all derives of the same elements. And yet it doesn't work well in the form of life without energy. And I'm curious, could these past lives, this information or this remembrance of our past lives be somehow transferred? We can transfer information electronically. Does any of this make sense?
Yeah, well, look, it does, Jay, because as I said before and in my other books and whatever, we are energy. We are pure energy. And we talk about our consciousness, which is another word for our soul, really. And the consciousness moves in between each lifetime. And it starts somewhere. It starts originally with the source, the original form of energy. This is all my research and my findings. And then our energy continues. It embraces human forms in this lifetime and other lifetimes on this planet and on other worlds as well. So this ongoing energy, yes, of course, it communicates. It communicates not only within itself, but it communicates with other energy forms as well. And we talk about the world of spirit or the world of the afterlife or whatever, other dimensions. And yes, energy does communicate. And when you start to get into the whole quantum area, which I'm no expert in, and I'm absolutely amazed at what quantum does, this communication can go from one side of the universe to the other.
You ever see the day, Barry, that we'll be able to download our past lives just on a little tiny microchip? And you'd have, like, life number 1, 2, 3, everything's down there?
Wow, that's a great concept.
One day that could happen.
Oh, well, why not? Yeah, I love it.
Make it easy for all of you regressionists, that's for sure, huh?
Yeah, that's very true. But you're going to have to make sure that chip was not exactly open so that you can tune into it at any time. You'd have to really be able to have an on-off switch, I guess.
Let's go to Brigantine, New Jersey. Al's with us, east of the Rockies. Hi, Al. Go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi there.
I've been listening, and it's one of my favorite subjects.
Me too. Me too, Al.
When I was, thank you for taking my call. When I was about 20, 25, I lived in Philadelphia. And my older brother, my older sister, and myself went to Temple University because they were giving self-hypnosis lectures, you know, to teach us how to do it. And basically, it's self-relaxation. And anyway, our professor took a liking to the three of us, and he had an office. He was a psychologist also, had an office down in Center City, Philly. And he invited us down to his office, and he said, I want you to listen to a few tapes that I have. And back in those days, it was a reel-to-reel tape, so he would put one on. And the first one he put on was a woman speaking English. And then you could hear him regressing her, and then she would go to another language. And all in all, make a long story short, she went all the way back to Latin, and, you know, Latin's not spoken in the world anywhere, except maybe in the Catholic Church here and there. But you could hear her speaking like everyday Latin, and then he took her back farther than that. It went to about 20 different languages, and there were no cuts in the tape. You know, it was just coming out, so it would be a little bit of a pause, and then she'd go into another language. Yeah. Well, I have another little story for you.
By the way, before you do that, Al, that's known as xenoglossy, and quite a few people are able to do that, and they're taken into another lifetime, and they're speaking a language that they have never, ever been trained in, never learned anything, or had no expertise in. So it's quite a, I won't say common, but it is known, yes.
Oh, and one final, two final things. When he brought her out of the regression and played the reel-to-reel tape for her, you had to hear her expression. She was, like, about to faint. But when this is the second story. My sister had a little baby. His name was Kent. And when he started to grow up a little bit, about three or four, when he could speak pretty clearly, he always had an expression, when I was older, and then he would tell us a story that seemed like it was right out of the Bible. Yeah. And it always reminded us, first we just passed it off as, you were when you were older, sure. But it reminded me of when Jesus was lost, and Mary went and found him speaking to the rabbis. And
the elders,
Yeah, the elders. And to hear the stories that were coming out of my little nephew's mouth, it came, we had a big family and a big living room, so we would all gather when Kent would say, you know, when I was older, we'd all come and gather in the living room, you know, and just listen to what he had to say. And it was just, I know for sure that they were all coherent and educated, and they were just wonderful, wonderful stories that just reminded you of the biblical times.
Pretty relevant. We're going to come back in just a moment with Barry Eaton and take final phone calls. Fast night tonight. Wow. His book is called Past Lives Unveiled, Discovering How Consciousness Moves Between Lives. And that's the key, I think, to all of this. His website, radiooutthere.com. Well, we make it easy for you. It's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. So we'll be back in a moment with final calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, consumer advocate Ralph Nader joins us for a couple hours, followed by Sherry Dillard, who talks about, I never met a dead person I didn't like, so make sure you're part of the program. And welcome back to Coast, our final segment with Barry Eaton. We'll get to your calls as well, author of Past Lives Unveiled. Barry, when you were putting this book together, was there that oh, wow moment for you on something that you stumbled across or came across?
Oh, look, George, there were several oh, wow moments, but one, I've just been sitting thinking during the break about one that I connected with Dr. Norm Shealy. Now, I'm sure you've had Norm on the program, I would imagine, a couple of times?
A couple of years ago, I think.
Yeah, well, he used to work with Carolyn Mace as the medical intuitive, and he did the medical side. Now, Norm Shealy is a highly respected former neurosurgeon in this lifetime. He also invented the TENS machine And then he discovered, as a former skeptic, he discovered that he'd had a previous life in England in the 19th century. He went along to a lecture about this particular doctor, and he had this icy shiver go down his spine. He suddenly thought, wow, that was me. Anyway, cut a long story short, he went over to Britain to chase this up, found out that he was in a previous life this Dr. John Elliotson. And Dr. John Elliotson was quite an amazing character. He introduced the stethoscope to British medicine and also the use of narcotics. And they were being used in France at the time. But he also started working with mesmerism, an early form of hypnotism, conducting public displays and so on. And the interesting thing was he also gave a lecture called The Hypocrisy of Science in Accepting New Thoughts. Now, this is in the 19th century. Can you imagine how popular he must have been with science?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Anyway, Norm realized with a whole sequence of events that he was definitely Elliotson. I've got a couple of pictures in the book showing how, at the same age, they could be brothers. They could almost be twins. Absolutely amazing. So Norm has come back into this lifetime to pick up the reins where he left off. Both Shealy and Elliotson hated medical hypocrisy. And 6 months before he even heard the name of John Elliotson, Shealy anonymously published a novel based on the hypocrisy of medicine in accepting new ideas. And unwittingly, he used a lot of material that Elliotson used as part of his lecture. So at least I can't accuse him of plagiarism. You can't, you can't steal your own ideas, can you? But he went on, and Norm now is quite amazing the way he runs a wellness center in Missouri, a brilliant man. I interviewed him on my radio program as well, and he's absolutely an incredible man. But he's picked up the reins where he found out that he introduced narcotics into the 19th century medical world, but in this world, he had to come back, in this lifetime, he had to come back again and remove all of this because of the effect that was happening. So he's come back to correct some of his earlier mistakes and pick up the reins where he left off as Elliotson. Now, I think that's
fascinating.
It's brilliant, George, absolutely brilliant. And Norm is such an amazing man, and he's got such incredible medical qualifications. Neurosurgeon, now operating a wellness center. Brilliant.
Do we have any idea, Barry, how long it takes a entity to reincarnate in terms of Earth time? Would, you know, if they died on a Monday, would they be reincarnated on a Tuesday, or would that be years later?
Look, and I can't say every single case, obviously. I don't have the ledger, but we mainly have to go back again to process the life that we've just had, work on it, and also then work out what we're going to do next. So it's very, very, very unlikely we'd ever come straight back again unless there was some special reason. But the timing in between, I don't know. I mean, some people have... I was killed in my last life on the first day of the Battle of the Somme in July the 1st, 1916, and I reincarnated then back in 1942. So there was a few years in between. A lot of people are coming back a lot sooner these days.
Mm-hmm.
The people, you know, 7.8 billion people on the planet or whatever it is, they've got to keep on recycling them.
That's right.
But it varies. There's no set time.
What about living with people today? Have we associated with them in other lives?
Very much so. We have a soul family that we usually go back to, and then we have close members of that soul family and extended members of the family, much the same as we have in our lives these days with all our extended families through marriage, intermarriage, divorce, whatever, whatever. And these souls will often travel back with us from lifetime to lifetime, playing out various roles. I will say it's sort of like a traveling theater company where we come back and a new production comes on, we take a different role each time. But we're all working together for the main purpose of putting the show on, as far as the theatre is concerned. But here we are putting a life on, and we're working together to help each other with karma, with all sorts of things, to work on the evolution of our soul, because that is essentially what it's all about.
Let's go to Colorado. Ed's with us now. Hey, Eddie, go ahead.
Hey, Matt. George, I just love your show.
Thank you, Ed.
You're great. Barry?
Yeah, Ed, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. The question I have is, can you, as a medium, give me any information about my last life?
Oh, look, I couldn't do it live on air. I'm not here under that mindset at the moment. That's an entirely different thing. We're talking about the past lives. I'm not sort of working as a medium at the present state, but I wish I could help.
And you've literally, to hypnotize somebody, you have to physically be there, don't you, Ed?
Yeah. Ed wants me to tune in as a medium, I think.
Yeah. You can't do it by phone, but almost. Well, Barry is with us.
At the moment, no.
Barry to Barry, Rock Hill, South Carolina. Go ahead, Bear.
Hello, George, and hello to Barry from another Barry. Always a pleasure,
Barry.
Buddy. And listen, George, real quick for you. I got a call Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock. It's my first wife saying, just where I am, Barry. I said, where? She said, I'm at the Hard Rock Cafe in Hollywood, Florida, getting ready to go see Lionel Richie.
She came close. That was right up the street from me.
I know it. And I said, well, you ought to go see Coast to Coast in about an hour. Jordan, Nori, and Tommy are down there. She said, oh, my gosh, I didn't even know it.
Upstage by Lionel Richie. We got to have a talk with him.
Yeah, really. But listen, Barry, I've got an interesting question. I dream at night just like everybody else, and I dream about past lives and different experiences in those past lives, but for the life of me, I cannot remember anything but little snippets when I wake up. How can I train myself to remember these things better?
Look, it's the same as any dream there, Barry. What you have to do is keep a little pad by the side of the bed and a pen there. And when you wake up, and sometimes I get wake up in the middle of the night and I've got to write things down, you've got to start writing. Just write the first things that come to you. And then as you start writing, you'll find that the memories will start to come back. And it might be a bit sketchy at first, but persevere on that one. And you will be able to get that kind of information. And when you start writing, those memories will start to flow after a while. So, but you've got to do it. You've got to really persevere with it.
Absolutely. Dorothy's with us in Austin, Texas. Hi, Dorothy.
Hey, I've been listening to Coast. I go back to the Art Bell days. I've never called you before. But there is no such thing as reincarnation.
Tell me why. Tell me why.
I'm getting ready to. The Bible says it is appointed once for man to die and one body, one soul. Get around that.
All right, Bear, I'll let you take it away, Mr. Eden.
Well, I mean, there was reincarnation in the early Christian church, and it was obliterated by an empress by the name of Theodora, and there's a whole big story. I've written about it here. Look, most of the churches accept this, but they decided that at this particular stage, reincarnation was to be removed from the teachings of Christianity, and that was done under the influence of this Theodora, the wife of the Roman Emperor Justinian, and she managed to convince her husband to revoke all references to reincarnation because she believed it would prevent her from being recognized as a goddess. And that is in history. I've got the quote in my book there, and you can actually check that one out. So I'm sorry, but I can't agree with you. Anyway, Dorothy, you're entitled to your beliefs.
Absolutely.
And good for you.
You know, when I was a kid, I thought of reincarnation as a mechanism to reach perfection, which would be heaven, and so that you would reincarnate until you got to that perfect stage. What do you think of that theory?
I think that's pretty spot on, George. I mean, why would we keep coming back? But when you think about it, logically, why wouldn't we have more than one life? Because it's not a very even playing field when you see some kids come into life and they only last a few hours, or a few days, a few weeks, they have huge problems, whereas other people live many, many years, long, happy lives, involved lives. Why would there be some who have no opportunities at all, others have various other opportunities? Why is there such an uneven playing field? This just doesn't make logical sense to me. But if we're given many opportunities to explore, to develop, to grow, then, yeah, that is the basic reason for reincarnation, that we come back each lifetime to be able to improve ourselves. And then when we are at that stage where we don't have to come back anymore, yes, we then go back and get back into contact with the divine, the source.
And I think the fact that we even talk about reincarnation at this stage in our lives tells me that we're getting closer to that moment where we're not coming back anymore.
Could be. Yeah, that's an interesting thought. I'm certainly hoping that's in my case. I don't know about you, George, but I'd be quite happy to sort of move off the treadmill in this particular after this one.
Just stay, huh? Let's go to Joe in Monterey, California. Hi, Joseph. Go ahead.
Hi, Barry. Hi, George.
Hey, Joe.
I've been doing this work for about 21 years, and Barry's spot on so many wonderful things, and I would like to ask him, and I have another. I have a good story for him. Could he talk a little bit about the spiritual beings on the other side that help mankind in so many different ways, especially the healers? First, let me give you one story.
All right.
I was doing some kind of movement spontaneously, and I had a spontaneous regression to a past life. And I found myself that I was an actual, I was a belly dancer.
Yeah. You were pretty. Were you a good dancer there, Joseph?
Excuse me?
Joe, the thought of me watching you wiggle your belly, I just can't handle it.
I was a woman at that time, and I said,
God,
wow.
I hope so.
She had so much power and influence. It was incredible. It was very spiritual and an art form, truly a true art form. I says, wow, this is incredible.
Yeah.
That's a first for me, Barry. That's the first time anybody's ever reincarnated from being a belly dancer.
Well, they've got to come back too, haven't they?
Well, that's true. Joe, thanks. Appreciate that. Another Joe, Long Island, New York. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Barry. I know you're in Australia and there's like vast territories, landscapes, and you've probably experienced, like a lot of people, the orchestration of nature directed upon you. I'd say, ask you, who is doing that when that happens? And if people show up, strangers, angels, other beings, have they identified themselves to you? Or it doesn't seem like they do identify themselves in most cases. It seems like they just show up and, you know, say what they have to say without giving their identity.
Well, are you talking about appearing in the flesh or appearing in meditations or dreams or
either? Like either.
Okay. Well, I mean, there is something known as earth angels, and I think there are quite a few earth angels around that, whether they are pure angelic forms or not, I'm not sure, but they are doing fantastic work here on our planet. But angelic content, I mean, I believe in angels. There's absolutely no doubt about that at all. I quite often ask for angelic help. And not only that, I get it. That's exactly it. I'll put out and ask for something. No, I'm not asking for a new car or a new house. I'm talking about help or advice or guidance or whatever. And it will come through. There's no doubt about that. And it's the same thing with our guides and many other areas. There are people in the spiritual realm that are there to help us. We may not always see them. We may have dream contact with them, and sometimes if we're very, very fortunate, we might get to see them. But once again, this is individual with circumstances for each person.
What's your next project, Barry?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm thinking about a couple of things at the moment, George, but I haven't really sort of settled on it completely. But I'm getting a little bit of spiritual advice, as a matter of fact. So I'll let that play out, if you don't mind, and I'll let you know what that one is.
Well, we'll love to have you back on when the time comes, my friend. And by the way, this book is amazing, Past Lives Unveiled. You've hit a home run with this one.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Now, for people who are on the fence, and we got about 30 seconds left, they're on the fence about reincarnation, what can you tell them?
Gee, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Just put out for it. Just think about it. Think about the logic side of it and read my book for a start. There'll be a lot of instances there. Do your own research. Don't just use somebody else's belief system. Don't let somebody else tell you what to do, including me. Do your own research. Find out for yourself, but do it with an open mind. Skeptics are cynics these days. In the old days, they used to question things with an open mind. Keep your mind open.
Barry, thanks again for being on the program. Appreciate it. His website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Consumer advocate Ralph Nader on our next Coast to Coast program, plus Sherry Dillard, who talks about being a psychic medium as well. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.